Well, the Tampa Bay Rays win again, this time against the New York Mets in game one of a three-game set on the road at Citi Field by a score of 8-5.
And a lot to unpack here. Pitching performances, some defensive talk, maybe some base running. So let's get started right now.
You are Locked On Rays, your daily Tampa Bay Rays podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, my name is Kevin Weiss.
I'm Ulysses Zambrano.
And we are the host of the Locked On Rays podcast. Thank you for making us your very first listen every day. Be sure to check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Locked On Rays, as well as all the other podcasting platforms available. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Rays and email us your mailbag questions anytime, lockedonrays@gmail.com. All right, 8-5 was the score, aka the Isak Paredes show, and I guess you could say the Harold Ramirez show and the Jose Siri show. But it's so funny how the world works, where on yesterday's episode, we were talking about Isak Paredes, and lo and behold, the next day, he bashes out two dingers and five RBIs and says, don't be talking about getting rid of me. I want to stay on this team for a little while.
Yeah, I want to see what that Topkin reply guy is thinking about Isak Paredes now. Before we get into it, Kevin, I do have to be the spokesperson of some bad news, okay? There are now several YouTube comments asking for you to stop with the blandness and get some background action.
Okay, we're working on it. Hey, if one of the person
for this, I'm sorry, I have to be that guy.
No, I totally understand and acknowledge that. It looks like I'm broadcasting from a prison cell, which I may or may not be. I may be a warden at a prison for all you all know. But yeah, it's an issue that we're trying to resolve and work on. Recently moved into a new house. I also work a lot, so it's very difficult to. I can barely get on time for this podcast, so bear with me. If a listener wants to come to my home and hang stuff up for me, I'm, you know, more than welcome to invite you in. But
Raise interior designer, yeah, that's what you need to call. Yeah,
that'd be nice. Start a little side hustle, side business there.
There you go.
So yes, I am well aware of the blandness that is my backdrop here. I don't know if I'll ever get it to Ulysses level, but we're working. This is a rebuild here. This is going to take some time.
It takes some time. You know what? Didn't take time for the race to get a lead yesterday. And that was so good to jump on Justin Verlander so quickly. And like you said, Isak Paredes is probably the headliner of yesterday's offensive show. Those two bombs. The first one, though, it was so good to like just see that breaking ball just basically like waiting, just hoping to get crushed. And that's exactly what he did. Pull it to the side. Both of them were pull side, of course. He just has tremendous power, man. He really, really does. Now, that's his sixth home run after last night. This team, is it crazy to think, Kevin, that nine players can have 15 home runs or more?
Not at this track, not at this pace. I certainly think it's within the realm of possibility. And what's funny about the whole Isak Paredes thing is it wasn't a great start necessarily to the game, because didn't in his first at bat he had runners on first and second, and he grounded out and ended what could have been a rally. And then defensively he had an errant throw on a somewhat routine play, in the sense of, I mean, it was a slow chopper. He had to backhand it, make an unbalanced throw, but it was way off target to Harold Ramirez. It was like, man, it might be a rough game for Isak Paredes. But then he comes around with that first bomb, two on, two out, full count, hanging breaking ball, like you mentioned. And then the second homer, we've seen it many, many times. You throw a fastball, middle in, up and in, low and in, he's going to deposit it. And that's absolutely what he did. And speaking on Paredes a little bit longer, I did not realize it really went beside the wayside. I guess there's so many other players offensively that we've focused our attention on, but he does not strike out and he does not swing and miss. And that goes along. He's also another in the line of Rays players that have revamped or improved their launch angle and the amount of barrels that they're putting forth.
Yeah, no, good observation there. I do want to, it's great when a player has a terrific game, you know, defensively, offensively, base running, everything works out for them on the day. Like that's great. That's fantastic, right? I do like to see some adversity though. And when you start the game like he did, you know, maybe not getting those runners in that situation, then maybe making a throw that he himself would probably tell you, I have to make that throw and then come through. I like that better.
Yes.
I like that better because it shows that mental fortitude that we keep talking about this in this podcast, that it's important to have when you're an athlete at that level. You have to be able to just wash things quickly away. Like you can't be thinking about that throw when you're on your second at bat, or else you might not be focused enough to hit that breaking ball 420 feet away and get a three-run bomb. So I thank you for bringing that up because I do enjoy the games where everything goes right for the player, but I actually enjoy more the games where they might fail at something earlier and they don't let it affect the other part of their game.
Yeah, so all the talk about Isak Paredes not being on the team for the long haul, we may have to pause that discussion for a later date. And I know it's maybe not the same Justin Verlander as pretty much every year previously in his career, but that's right. Still a big name, a lot of pedigree, future Hall of Famer on the road. That can be a big moment for some people. And I know we'll get more into this, but there was no Yandy Diaz in the lineup. Wander, Randy, the big superstars, if you will, it wasn't them that were driving in the runs and making the big contributions. It was the other guys, namely Isak Paredes and others. We've got more to discuss, but first we have to tell you about our new sponsor, So Rare. So Rare is a revolutionary fantasy baseball game and marketplace, transforming fans into owners with officially licensed digital cards featuring players from across all 30 MLB teams. Unlike other fantasy baseball platforms, So Rare managers truly own their fantasy experience, collecting, buying, selling, and competing with player cards against global opponents to win epic rewards. Win or lose, you still own your cards, and there's no cost to play. Plus, the more you win, the more you advance, collecting increasingly powerful cards and accessing next-level competitions and rewards. So Rare, you need to get on this thing. So just go over to their website, sorare.com/lockedon. That's spelled SORARE.com to draft your team of free player cards, set your lineup, and start competing today to win epic rewards. Again, that's sorare.com/lockedon to start playing today.
Well, I want to highlight a guy that has been struggling a little bit. Before we do that, I do think we should give props to Jose Siri. Again, number five. Number five, man, already. I mean, the stolen bags are there. We've talked about the 2020 possibilities and how there are so many candidates for that. I don't want to say that he's a 2020 guy just because I don't want to believe in the power so much right now. I don't want to be that hopeful and then be let down kind of thing. I do think he can hit 12 bombs. I do think so.
Right. No, I think he definitely has the capability. He's got the tool set to be a 2020 guy. It's just about being able to put it all together at the plate. If you look at the on-base percentage and average and strikeouts and all that, I mean, there's a reason he's batting number nine instead of number one or number two in the order, which I'm glad you brought up Jose Siri. The home run, awesome, fantastic. That's great. But also the side of his game where he gets on first, he steals second, all Harold Ramirez or whoever in the lineup, really, at this point, just a simple base hit, he'll score second to home, doesn't matter. And he'll do it in exciting, electrifying fashion. So that's what I really appreciate about Jose Siri. Single, walk, hit by pitch. What you're on first, pitcher be warned, catcher be warned, defense be warned. He's probably going to get into scoring position before the inning is over.
it's the series special double. You know, as soon as you get to first, you have to be at second, because with that speed, like you said, it's an automatic run that you have with his wheels on. And I know that sometimes we've talked about like how stolen bases are coming back finally because of the new rules and new bags and the disengagements by the pitchers. This is terrific news for a guy with wheels like Sirius. So I'm very enthused about what he can do in the bags. And he's just so dynamic. Well, man.
It's terrific news for the Rays because you have Taylor Walls and Wander Franco and Josh Lowe and Randy Rosarena and Manny Margot and Jose Siri and others on the come up as well.
Yeah, no. And again, not everybody had a good time there. I mean, 3-for-5 with 2 RBI for Harold. He just wakes up and hits. 324 average, a 925 OPS. He had a terrific 2022 season, and now he's just like getting even better. That's so encouraging to see, man.
Question: is this the first time this season that he's batted leadoff?
Oh, let me see. I can look that
because
up.
I would assume with Yandy Diaz being out of the order that may be the go-to until Yandy's able to return into the lineup, be it Thursday, Friday, over the weekend. But I like that idea. If Harold Ramirez keeps raking like he is, and again, he has a knack for, I know, you know, whatever you want to look at, the BABIP and all these underlying numbers, he just has a knack and a skill set for hitting balls in the infield that's tough for the opposition to handle and getting on base. It might be, you know, deep third base and the third baseman can't make the throw to first in time, which actually happened in this game. So
yeah, no, this good call. This is his first time batting leadoff. He had 5 at bats yesterday, and on Baseball Savant it says that he's had 5 at bats batting first. He's batted 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Okay.
So yeah, no, this I think this is a great opportunity for him to kind of establish what he can do with that leadoff position. What in his on base for the year is 375. So I'm okay with giving a guy that has a 375 on base the opportunity to bat leadoff when Yandy is maybe not feeling at his best right now, which I don't know if there is any update on whether he will play during this Mets series. Have you heard anything?
Last I heard was he likely won't be in the lineup Wednesday. That's all I got.
Okay.
The groin tightness. So who knows if he's in Thursday. I would imagine when the homestand begins that he could and should be back in the fold. But you know what? It probably wouldn't be the worst thing to give Diaz a couple days off. You're facing the Mets, who are just in shambles right now, 20-23. God, they're paying like millions upon millions upon millions of dollars for a single win, seemingly. So, you know, if you, again, just don't try to force or rush him back. As we can see by this game one, that the Rays have enough players to stretch things out until he's ready to go.
And you're going back to the turf. So like, you know, maybe give him some time to rest before going back to St. Pete and play against the Brewers. Now, I do want to by the way, yes, Yanni, there's so many things to talk about, my
yes.
man. Yanni, strong bulk appearance. I know that maybe some Topkin reply guys don't think it was, but I mean, almost 5 innings, three hits, 3 runs. Again, not a big strikeout guy, Yanni, only 2.
Yeah.
I think that's his job right now. Can you give us 4 to 5 innings and keep it under 3 runs? I think that's what you can expect or what you should hope for, and that's exactly what he's delivering right now.
3 runs or fewer. I mean, he got the win and his ERA looks good. 82 pitches. You just need guys to eat them up. Eat up those innings and don't have any crazy crooked numbers. And thus far, and again, let's give Yanni a little credit and breathing room here. He's still trying to work back and find his footing after an injury that set him back for a very long time. So it's not like, snap of a finger. Okay. It's back to 2019 Yanni. Like it's going to take some time. So really you're getting this type of who else out of that pitching staff delivered what Yanni delivered yesterday? one inning, less than one inning, two innings from Beeks, who has a terrible beard, by the way. He's got to do something about that. But Yanni carried the load for the pitching staff yesterday. And I think he's going to continue to have to do that and will do that going forward with a setup like this of an opener and then a bulk guy and then, you know, mix and match and all that.
He's so versatile. He doesn't care if he's starting, if he doesn't care if it's after after an opener. I do agree with you. Beeks has got to do something with that beard. I don't know if he's like doing additions for ZZ Top.
It's really bad. And maybe it could be a little mind games, gamesmanship, put something into the hitter's head of like all they can focus on is, man, that is an unkept monstrosity. I can't focus on whether he's going to throw a changeup or a fastball at me.
He can make the Pete Fairbanks crazy eyes. Everybody has to have a thing now. So maybe the beard is his terrifying.
You know what? Here's the next wave. Here's the next frontier is your pitching staff. Put fake tattoos. Get the craziest look that you can.
Like Post Malone face tattoos. Okay.
Yeah, do the Post Malone action. Okay. I want you looking like Machine Gun Kelly with pink hair. Just go nuts with it. So you just totally distract the hitter. There might be something to that, quite frankly.
I'll be sure to text the pitching lab, the Rays pitching lab about this.
Snyder, Pete Bendix, and then, you know, the marketing team would love it because you can come up with a promo or two with that. Yeah. So,
no, that's not bad at all.
You know, we all raved about Brian Wilson's beard and how thick.
Fear the beard. Dark.
Yeah.
Can you believe that's like a decade ago?
It's crazy.
It's insane. It's insane. But whatever. We're not going to talk about how old we think that we are. Okay. Last thing that I really do want to go over.
Is this Brandon a segue Lau to an ad read?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Brandon Lau, man. Look, he hit a slider for his first hit yesterday. Good for him. He also got a double. I know a lot of Rays fans have been frustrated for his performance. Others have been just completely on the you're crazy if you're talking crap about Brandon Lau. I don't know why we can't just have like a semblance of like reality where all both can be correct. Like, yes, he's struggling, but hey, he's still valuable. Like, why can't we just like be in that position where it's in the middle? I don't understand that. But one of the arguments that has been said multiple by the Brandon Lau protectors that will not ever utter anything bad about Brandon Lau and like will put blindfolds saying like he's not struggling at all is that, well, he's been only been thrown off speed and breaking balls. So that's why he's not you know, producing right now, which, okay, you know, you guys are right. Historically, he has been bad versus breaking balls and off speed, but his whiff percentage for both this year are career lows. And yes, his fast they are throwing less fastballs to him in 2023 than when he hit 39 bombs in 2021. Before it was at 51%. Now it's at 46.7%, and the off speed has increased from 17.5% to 23.8%. So that is true. They're attacking him with less fastballs and more off speed. And he hasn't really been very productive with breaking balls or off speed. That is correct. However, if we all agree that Brandon Lau is supposed to be one of the biggest bats in this lineup, one of the best offensive second basemen in the league, why are some Rays fans pretending that he's Pedro Serrano and that he can't hit anything but fastballs?
Yeah.
I mean, understandably, everybody's going to have their flaws, but I mean, this whole thing, like, well, he's not producing because he's just being thrown breaking balls and off speed. Like, well, yeah, it's the big leagues. You have to adjust. You have to hit breaking balls and off speed in order to be successful. So that whole, like, you know, act of just completely saying, oh, well, the drought doesn't count because he's being pitched without fastballs. Like, well, yeah, that's the whole thing about how baseball is difficult.
Right.
It's because you have to handle everything. So I just wanted to put that out there with the breaking balls and off speed stuff. Like, he is whiffing on them less, which is a good start. He had a good day yesterday. of course, we believe that he's going to get through it. But I just wanted to put that out there that, you know, to expect him to not produce because he's getting attacked differently, I think that's a little bit of a lame excuse.
Yeah. Like you said, it's the big leagues. If you're struggling in one area, the opposition is going to capitalize and take advantage of it. And we saw it earlier on this season where he was having some issues with breaking balls and off speeds. Like, I think you're going to see more of this from opposing pitching staffs. And lo and behold, now he's getting a heavy dose of it. So you eventually have to adjust. So, you know, luckily, I don't think we've had to magnify Brandon Lau's struggles because that's been watered down by the performances of so many others. But I think there could be a day and time this season where you're going to have multiple guys struggling at once, and it's going to be the onus on Brandon Lau to step up and contribute. And I'm willing to give him a little bit of a reprieve because he was hurt so much last season, although he entered 2023 with such a hot, amazing start. I think part of that, large part of that, was due to the competition or lack thereof. And now you're getting into the more difficult schedule of May and getting into the grind of road trips. And it's a challenge. It's not easy to play baseball every day go through all that you're going through. And then when you hit that first dose of struggling, trying to get out of it. And he seems like a guy that gets in his head very often and frequently when he struggles. But I think we're starting to see the tide turn a little bit. And it's little things. I know it's not like, you know, we're looking for that Isak Paredes game from him this week or last week, but we're seeing, you know, drawing a walk, working a count, getting a base hit, hitting a hard line drive on a breaking
ball. Even that strikeout with the bases loaded, Kevin, against Verlander. Like, he was fouling some pitches that you know, some fastballs that were in good spots. I mean, he could have handled a couple of them. I know that he would say that, but, you know, it looked like a good at bat. By the way, what's the percentage of Locked On Race listeners / subscribers on YouTube that would have gotten the Pedro Serrano reference, you think? 90%, 80%?
I think we have a lot of young listeners where Major League might have been before their time. It's got to be over 50%. I'm going to say between 60 to 70%.
Cool. All right. If you understood the Pedro Serrano, drop a comment. Say like, yeah, of course, dude.
YouTube Pedro Serrano breaking ball, whatever, and it should come up.
And then put it in the comments. Hey, I thank you for, you know, teaching me about Pedro Serrano. You know, and that's it. And you know what? Right now, I want to teach you. You know, Kevin, I'm an Ybor City guy now.
Yeah,
I'm an Ybor guy. I love going there, walking on the weekends, walking on the after work, and you know, I've been getting a lot of looks lately. And I'm like, okay, you know, the diet is working. The gym is working. The yoga is working. I'm feeling good.
Can I interrupt? Are some of the looks because you ordered food at a cigar bar, which is like a big no-no?
You don't do that. Okay. You learn from your mistakes. And when you learn from your mistakes, you learn that you need to be comfortable, Kevin. And guess what? When I wear my bird dogs, I am at my most comfortable. And that's exactly what I want to talk to you about. Okay. My bird dogs, they look better and they feel great. Okay. They're also, they have this stretchy fabric that make my legs look fantastic, and they're comfier than any other shorts or pants that I wear. And they also give me the freedom to wear one pair of shorts. For example, if I'm trying to do some yoga in the park, or if I go to a meeting or hanging out with friends, they are completely versatile. So today, you have to go to birddogs.com/lockedonMLB. And when you enter promo code LOCKEDONMLB, they will throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. I have mine and it is fantastic. So today, go to birddogs.com/lockedonMLB and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB to get started today.
Yeah, I received a pair or two of bird dogs, and they are awesome, I got to tell you. So get on the bird dog train. And when you order a package, you'll notice some really fun quotes within that package as well. So highly recommend those if, like you said, you're just going out on the town or you're a golfer and you want to wear them. Very comfortable. All right, so tonight we have Josh Fleming going up against Kodai Senga should be an interesting matchup. I always love seeing new pitchers, especially pitchers from Japan, because I'm obsessed with their repertoire and refinement and the splitter, the forkball, whatever you want to call it. Senga's got that. I don't know if it's as good as Shohei Ohtani, but it is a dastardly good pitch in addition to his four-seamer, his cutter, his splitter. So he'll have a lot working in different directions. Yeah, I'll be interested to see how the Rays respond to seeing him in their first appearance.
Yeah, that fork ball, that ghost fork, apparently.
Disappears.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch that. He throws it 22% of the time, so it's something that we will definitely see. But he is kind of a, you know, throw the kitchen sink at you. I mean, he's got the four-seam, like we said, the ghost fork, the cutter, the sweeper, the curveball. The pitch that he throws the least is the curveball, and he throws it 0.6%. So you're just basically eliminating the curveball.
Right.
He's only thrown it four times this whole year. So it's basically those four pitches. So it's going to be fun. I mean, he's got a fun repertoire, and, you know, the Mets are struggling right now. We saw that yesterday. I think when you hear what Mets fans have been complaining about this whole season is the fact that, you know, the lack of productivity in the lineup. You know, they're not just, you know, they're in an offensive rut. And like you said, it's the Pete Alonso show.
Yeah, it was yesterday too.
Boy, dude, Pete is such an animal, man. He's just such a crazy power dude. It's that must be fun to watch a guy like that just hit dingers for you 50 times a season. But no, they're struggling, so this is the perfect time. Josh Fleming, please be careful of Pete Alonso, or he will put one in the moon. So let's hope that when Fleming is facing Pete, there's nobody on base, because then it can become a crooked number really quickly. So no, this is going to be fun. Now, Kodai Senga, he hasn't had a terrific season so far. He does have issues with getting men on base. He has a 1.51 whip. So the Rays will have traffic on the bases. And again, like we mentioned earlier, if it is a guy like Taylor Walls, if he's in the lineup, if it's a guy like Jose Siri, if it's a guy like Manuel Margot, Wander Franco, you can expect some traffic that'll cause some havoc. And some backs being stolen, and some first to third would be really nice to see. So we can also keep our eye on that.
I could really see that, because if you look at Senga's delivery, like a lot of Japanese imports, it's very, like I mentioned, slow, methodical, very repeatable, and the mechanics are really in line. But that extra second or two it takes from windup to pitch being delivered, I would expect Siri to take advantage of that. I would expect so many others to take advantage of that, or at least give him something to think about and maybe distract him as he's throwing his pitch to the hitter, and the hitter can capitalize. So we'll be curious to watch that going forward. And I know Josh Fleming on the mound, I don't know if we're going to see this guy, but I will give him a little bit of a shout out to the opposition. Hey, the Mets don't have a lot of things working for them right now. You know, Justin Verlander in his first appearance at Citi Field was a disaster. He's got a guaranteed contract for 2024 at 41 years old for a cool $43.333 million. And there's also a vested option in 2025.
You know what?
He matches the performance there.
Drop it in the comments. Just let's have a little bit of fun here. Drop it in the comments what you would do with $43 million. Just drop it in the comments. I would buy a mansion, a Ferrari. Like, I want to hear what people would do with $43 million.
Depending on how the economy is going, I'd pay my electric bill. That's what I'd do.
So paying an electric bill during the wintertime is a no joke.
Yeah.
He's a no joke.
Yeah.
Even in Florida. So I know people are like that are like, you know, from the north might be like, dude, Florida winter. Yeah. Try paying that in New York. I'm like, okay, I don't live there. So no.
That aside, I will be curious to see how Verlander does in this next year and three quarters. 17 years of service time. A lot of guys, there comes a point where the end is near, unless your name is Mariano Rivera and you're good from day one to day end. I'll be watching that very closely. But Brett Beatty has some range at third. He also has a swing that reminisces me of Ken Griffey Jr. This is a guy that's 6'3", 225 pounds. The finish, the follow through, the rotation on a guy of his size. He's like the white Griffey to me. Not saying the performance is going to stand, but the finish, I was like, man, that is a sweet, sweet swing. I haven't seen a swing that sweet since Matt Joyce and then Griffey before that.
It's a sweet swing, man. And again, this is like their hope is that he's going to be, you know, the Locked On MLB host, Ryan Finkelstein, he does have on his bio that Brett Beatty will have a better career than David Wright. So if you want to hear his perspective, you can check out Locked On Mets for that during this series, and he can give you a little bit more insight on that Mets team. But hey, let's again just win series, man. Win series. That's the name of the game. So let's hope that the boys come through with a win today.
All right. Hope you all have a wonderful day. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.